Our fathers, we come to read thy word. May thy blessing rest upon it. May the Holy Spirit tonight anoint every word that's said and every ear to hear it in the name of Jesus. Amen. You may be seated. And in the 38th chapter of the book of Ezekiel, beginning with the very first verse, "And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, set thy face against God, the land of Magog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and prophesy against him. And say thus, saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O God, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal, and I will turn thee back, and put hooks into thy jaws, and I will bring thee forth in all thine army, horses, horsemen, all of them clothed with all sorts of armor, even a great company with bucklers and shields, all of them handling swords. Persia, Ethiopia, Libya, with them, all of them with shield and helmet. Gomer and all his bands, the house of Togarmah of the north quarter, all his bands and the many people with thee. Be thou prepared and prepare for thyself, thou and all thy company that are assembled unto thee. Be thou guard unto them. After many days thou shalt be visited. In the latter years thou shalt come into the land that is brought back from the sword and is gathered out of the many people against the mountains of Israel, which have been always waste, but is brought forth out of the nation, and they dwell safely, all of them. Thou shalt ascend and come like a storm. Thou shalt be like a cloud to cover the land, thou and all thy bands and many people with thee." Then moving over into the 21st verse of that chapter, "I will call for a sword against him to all my mountains, saith the Lord. Every man's sword shall be against his brother. And I will plead against him with pestilence, with blood. And I will rain upon him and upon his bands and upon the many people that are with him an overflowing rain, great hailstones, fire and brimstone. Thus will I magnify myself, sanctify myself, and I'll be known in the eyes of many nations. They shall know that I am the Lord. Therefore, son of man, prophesy against Gog and say, Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I am against thee, O Gog, the chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. I will turn thee back, and listen, leave but a sixth part of thee, and will cause thee to come up from the north parts, and will bring thee upon the mountains of Israel. And I'll smite thy bow out of thy left hand, and will cause thine arrows to fall out of thy right hand. Thou shalt fall upon the mountains of Israel, thou and all thy bands, and the people that is with thee. I'll give thee unto the ravenous birds of every sort, and to the beasts of the field to be devoured." The 11th verse, "And it shall come to pass, in that day I will give unto God a place thereof of graves in Israel, the valley of the passengers on the east of the sea, and it shall stop the noses of the passengers. There shall they bury Gog and his multitude, and they shall call it the valley of Hammon Gog. And 7 months shall the house of Israel be bearing them, that they may cleanse the land. Yea, all the people of the land shall bury them, and it shall be to them a renown, the day that I shall be glorified, saith the Lord. They shall sever out men of continual employment, passing through the land to bury with the passengers those that remain upon the face of the earth to cleanse it. After the end of 7 months shall they search, and the passengers that pass through the land, when they seeth a man's bone, then shall he set up a sign by it till the buriers have buried it in the valley of Hammon Gog." Not too long ago, in the Sunday school times, a professor of one of the leading theological seminaries in this country commented on this fact, said it's impossible to identify the Gog of Ezekiel's prophecy. Now, the Bible said in 2 Timothy 3:16 that all Scripture is given of inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, under heaven's name, what profit would a Scripture be if you could not identify the subject with which it deals with? I say, the Bible says, rather, that if a trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to battle? The God of heaven will never shout to the air. Whatever subject in this Bible that he puts can be identified And the Gog of this chapter is none other than the Russia that we know today. The Russia that we're acquainted with today. A dark, inky black cloud, ominous with evil, streaked with forked lightning, spreading over the earth like a terrible serpent. That's the Russia that we know tonight, and the Russia that we're dealing with, and the Russia that God said in the very near future was going to be brought to a close, going to be brought to an end. Now, Russia, just a few years ago, was just a vast horde of uncivilized barbarians, bellicose, but uncultivated in the art of war. A giant land whose vast girth was its principal weakness. Nobody feared it. It was the tramp of the French legions, the growl of the British lion, the goose-stepping of the German hordes that struck terror into men's heart, not Russia. But yet as far back as 1909, a group of Bible-believing preachers put it in the footnote in the Scofield Bible, I believe on page 840, that the Gog of this prophecy was none other than Russia. They placed it for a permanent record, and how true has the latter years proved them to be so. Let us look at some of the marks that identify this godless land as we know it tonight. In the 17th century, all the leaders of the Russian Empire went under the title of Velikai Nayez, which means the Grand Prince. Then came the title of Tsar. Now that's been permanently dropped, and they just carry the name Prince, which means one raised up from among the people. Now, the name of Russia dates back all the way to the 17th century, and it comes from the ancient name of Rus, R-U-S. The Bible that our Lord used, the Septuagint, used the word Rus, and most lexicographers, along with Bible scholars, agree that the Rus of our Lord's Bible is none other than modern Russia that the world is having a trouble with today. Now, the Scofield Bible, in a footnote on Gog, says that the primary reference is to the northern European powers headed up by Russia. To this, most everyone agrees. Now, the reference to Meshech and Tubal, Moscow and Tobolsk is the real name, is a clear mark of identification. Now, I picked this up. Russia's old capital, Moskva, that is Moscow, gave Russia the name Muscovy, which it bore until recent centuries, and by which it's still known throughout the East. The people known to the Greeks and Romans as Mashi dwelt in the Mashi Mountains in the Caucasus, and practically all authorities identify Mashi with Meshech, and that Meshech is none other than Moscow, the capital of Russia tonight. Now, Tubal is not nearly so easy identified, but most lexicographers and Bible scholars agree that it's Tobolsk, the strategic center of Asiatic Russia. But there's other signs. In this prophecy that I've just read, Russia is revealed to be a bitter enemy of God. That is, against everything that's called God, profaning everything that's worthwhile. The Russian princes cry out, lift their raised fists against God. God says in this book, behold, I'm against thee, O God, thou chief prince of Meshech and Tubal. And the Russian princes do not hesitate to say that they're against everything called God. The slogan of Karl Marx was that religion, all religion, is the opiate of the people. Such was the slogan of Stalin, Brezhnev, and the rest of them. They're dead set against God, and Russia is the only nation ever known in history that totally denied every God that there is. Now, every nation, their God is not the Lord, but they worship gods of wood, iron, stone. They have some kind of a God. But this is a totally atheistic nation given over to be against everything that's called God. Professor Valdimir Isovisky, an expert on Soviet law and associate of the Georgetown University, in a recent court trial with Justice Dickinson Lentz, made this statement, certain comments about Russia, and he said in that statement that anyone teaching religion, anyone under 18 years old in that land, could be banished to Siberia for 10 years or put to death, that all financial means were taken away from the church. Their very existence was choked out because they weren't allowed any revenue whatsoever. And the conclusion of his testimony, Professor Valdimir made this statement, that it is my honest evaluation that the Soviet legal system, listen to it, was diabolically conceived in the mind of hell to banish the name of God and the thought of God from every human being on this earth. The Russian leaders say we'll drive God from our borders. We'll drive God from our borders. They made that statement in 1930 with billboards stretched across that land with a caricature of God at the top of it, a Russian soldier with a hammer climbing up to the top to dethrone God. Mister, they've never made a statement to retract a word of it. So we have to believe it's still true tonight. They're out to destroy God. But listen, the battle between God and God is on. I said it's on tonight, but it wasn't on until the Russian Revolution of 1917. Gog officially stands to profane all that's called God. The profanities of that awful land is too horrible to name tonight. But I want you to notice another thing. The Bible says that when this thing comes down against these people, against Israel, it's going to be on the mountains of Israel, and he specifically said, in the latter times. I said, in the latter times. When at the close of this age, right now, if you please, when we live, today they're poised yonder in the Soviet Union, ready to pounce upon that little nation and bring it under and totally annihilate it that they may possess the land of Abraham. But notice he said when God begins that fatal march, that he'll come from the uttermost part of the north. If we had a map here tonight to look, where does God dwell? Where is the dwelling place? Look at it on your map when you get home. You'll find her sprawling all the way around the North Pole from the Baltic Sea to the Bering Strait. Her flag flying over a full 1/6 of the earth's surface tonight. There is no nation, I said no nation, farther north than Russia tonight. Gog or Russia dwells in the land of Gog. I said Russia dwells in the land of Gog. Amen. Many years ago, when Hitler was on the run, when the whole thing was moving out, amen, it looked like that Hitler was going to win. Bible scholars said that Russia would be the winner and not Germany, but their scoffers were legion. I said their scoffers were legion. I ask you tonight, who's in Berlin tonight? Who is it in Berlin tonight? When God begins his fatal march out of the uttermost parts of the north, the Bible said there'll be many people with him. More than 25 centuries ago, the prophet Ezekiel dared to name the allies of that godless prince. He named them, listen to them, Persia, Cush, Put, Gomer, Togarma, every last one of them allied with communistic Russia today. All of them are located in West Central Asia except Gomer and the German people are the descendants of Gomer. How accurate is the Bible? Back there in World War II when Hitler was heading for Stalingrad, when it looked like Russia was going to fall, then those that had placed their imprint upon this Bible said that it cannot be so. Hitler will be defeated. Russia must win. I ask the question, who's in Berlin tonight? I'll ask you. Let me tell you, this Bible said that the German people had to be allied with Russia when she marched. Germany had to be divided. Mister, don't tamper with God's word tonight. When this book says he's coming, and he'll divide a nation, sir. Part of Germany has to be in that Roman Empire, has to be a part of that common market that's going to make up the Antichrist force in the final analysis. But there had to be a part of Germany allied with that prince when he came out. And this Bible makes it plain they will be. There'll be German soldiers on the mountain of Israel when that fatal march begins. I said when that fatal march again. Let's lift our hands and worship God here tonight. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Praise God, praise God. The Bible said when that godless prince begins his march and his hordes with him, that all of them are going to be riding upon horses. This is a very significant thing in identifying. Who is it tonight that owns a full one half of all the horse flesh on this earth? I'll tell you who owns it. Russia owns it. Now, as a boy in the 1930s, they scoured this nation and the world looking for horse flesh fit for battle. They bought it. They took it back to Russia. You know what that wily old bear anticipated, mister? The devil knows. I said hell knows. And he anticipated that the great oil fields of this world will be so torn up. I said so torn up that the great war machines of man will be stopped in their tracks out of gas. And the Russian bear figures that the people that own the horses will be the winner in that time. The people that own the horses. Mister, God is about to march. I said he's about to march. The church is about to be raptured.
hell's going to break loose on this earth. And if men are ever going to get right, they've got to get right tonight.
When God begins his march, what nation is he going to invade? Not America, mister. It'd be suicide to invade this nation with the forces that are talked about in this book. Not Western Europe. No, sir. He'll take no chances. The Bible makes it very plain that he'll march against Israel. It's on the mountains of Israel that the back of communism is going to be broken, that God is going to call for his sword against them. It's there in that land. It's going to be Israel. They're going to march down against that little land. In that day, mister, is going to signal the end of this age, beginning of the war pictured here. It's perhaps already begun tonight, just waiting on the decision of whether it's worth the gamble now or not. It's already underway. That world's aflame tonight. Mister, I don't know whether it'll wind up in a worldwide confrontation at this time. But I'll tell you one thing. It cannot long go. She's poured billions into that land, and she's going to recover it one way or another, or at least she thinks he is. Every historian knows that since the days of Peter the Great, that Muscovite has dreamed of owning the land of Abraham. He's dreamed of owning the land of Abraham, that tiny little nation, which is the very navel of the earth, through which the lifeblood of three of the most populated continents on this earth flow through. I said the lifeblood of the three most populated continents on this earth. That Russian bear needs those warm outlets for its navies. That froze, ice-bound land needs the warm outlets for its navies. And they believe that anybody that owns that little piece of land can conquer the world. That's why Napoleon shot the nose off the Sphinx in his attempt to get there. There in Cairo tonight, you'll find his cannonballs lodged in the side of mosque and everything else, trying to make his way down to that little land that's a navel of the earth. But, mister, more than that, that war's more than that tonight. That's God's program in that land. I said, that's God's program. God said, I'll bring them back from among the nations. I'll bring them back. And when he brings them back, they're going to be settled there. I said, they're going to be settled there. And now hell is trying to upset the move of God's Spirit. And that Russian bear has dreamed for 200 years of owning the land of Palestine. How significant it is when God goes forth to battle, when he marches upon the mountains of Israel, that it's going to be against a land that has been continually laid waste. Now listen to it. How minute is the prophecies being fulfilled in this Bible? It's going to be against the land that has laid a continual waste. But the Bible said it's now inhabited. And that word inhabited doesn't just carry with it the thought of people living there, but a land has been made livable. I said livable. A land has begun to produce and blossom like a rose. Mister, the transformation that took place in that land had to take place before God could march, and it has taken place tonight. It has taken place tonight. How significant is that prophecy? How significant is that prophecy when you begin to look at it? Dear friend, when he begins that march, it'll be against a land that's been in continual waste, been gathered out of the nations, but now has been gathered back. Listen to this. 7 centuries after Ezekiel, the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos penned another prophecy. And here in Revelation 6:4 he said, and another horse came forth, a red horse, and to him that sat thereon it was given to take peace from the earth, and that they should slay one another, and there was given unto him a great sword. Given unto him a great sword. What nation flashes into your mind when you think about the red horse and the nation that took peace away from the earth? The nation with a great sword. Look at it tonight. They've even surpassed this great nation in missiles tonight. They surpassed us in tanks. Their divisions outnumber ours in Europe 2-1. They've got a great sword, and unto them is given power, the Bible said, to take peace from the earth. How long has it been since General Eisenhower sat down to the surrender of what is left of the two German armies? Amen. But to this day, that peace has never been signed. Who took the peace away from the earth, sir? I'll ask you. It was that red Russian. There's a postage stamp put out by the Russians in 1930. It shows the four horses of the apocalypse riding around the south end of the Dead Sea with a red horse in the band, mister. God allowed that atheistic prince to design a postage stamp
that would be against himself in these final days. I said, in these final days, he who sits in the heavens, you'll laugh, mister. I said, he who sits in the heavens, you'll laugh. We are moving toward the climax of an age. They've took the peace from the earth. They've outnumbered, outgunned, outmanned the earth tonight. I know this sounds frightening, but this Bible said they can't win. No, they're not going to win. But they have the sword. I said, they have the sword. And tonight they're poised. They're poised to bring under that little nation and to set up their headquarters. They're using the poor Arab states, the game they're in. They care nothing for nobody but themselves. The Bible makes it quite clear that when this God begins his fatal march, what's going to happen to him? In the latter days, in the final end of this age, when he begins that march down against Israel, God said, I'm going to call for a sword against you. I'm going to call for a sword. I'll plead with hail, brimstone. What he uses, I don't know. I believe perhaps the great arsenals of America, they'll be used to bring him to his knees. There's those that believe that Israel has the atomic bomb tonight. I do not know that. I didn't say that. I just saw one time on the television where they believed it. If she doesn't have it, they said she certainly had the potential to make it. And if you think for 1 minute she'll hesitate to use it, you're wrong, sir. I said, you're wrong. If you think for 1 minute she'll hesitate, because she knows that it's not a matter of gaining territory. It's a matter of the devil, as in Haman's day and Hitler's day, to totally annihilate the earthly people of God. Just as diabolical scheme as Haman had in the book of Esther, and just as diabolical as Hitler had during World War II. Hell has set itself to destroy that nation. That there's one Jew alive on this earth tonight is a proof of the authenticity of this Bible. No, they're not saved. If they're saved, they'll come by the way of Calvary. But they're the earthly people of God, the covenant. And if they were allowed to be destroyed, this Bible would fall apart. There'll be atom bombs used in that land, mister. That war that's going to break out is going to be termed the Third World War by the historians. It'll be the most frightful war ever fought on this earth. One out of every four people on this earth will die. This Bible said one-fourth of all men will die. A third of every green thing will be turned up. You may have to go to a museum to see a tree. The waters, great part of the waters, will be to become bitter as wormwood from radioactivity. How do you know, preacher, that there are going to be atom bombs used? Because this Bible said, when there's a place of graves there, when they're buried, it's going to take 7 months to bury the dead. And as they find the bone of a man, then that human being, that passenger, is not to touch that bone. He's to mark it. I said, he's to mark it so that the special crew that are equipped to bury it will come along because of the radioactivity. My dear friends, tonight listening to me, we have come to the end of this age. That Russian prince is going to be destroyed. God said 5 out of 6 of them are going to die on the mountains of Israel. The awful communistic Rehu, his back is going to be broken there on the mountains of Israel. Now to the turmoil and confusion of a world that set the world on fire is going to come the Antichrist. I said going to come the Antichrist. Between somewhere now and the day that war is over, the church is going to be raptured. I said the church is going to be raptured according to this book. There's going to be an upcalling of the saints, and hell is going to break loose on this earth, mister. You think it's bad tonight, but if you're around here after the church is gone, I said just be around here a little while after the church is gone, and you'll see what darkness that you'll come upon this earth. The present conflict in the Middle East, the present conflict that we face in the Middle East tonight with Syria and Egypt on each end of Israel doing battle against that little nation. Now, I hope that you noticed when I read the allies of this nation that Egypt nor Syria are allies of Russia. Egypt nor Syria, this is reading makes me know that we've come to the final windup of things. Here it is, the only two that are doing battle with Israel tonight are the two that are not allies with this godless atheistic thing as it comes down against Israel. Now either one of two things has happened. Either in this war, when she sees the Syrian army has already been destroyed, now they're regrouping their forces for Egypt. Make no mistake about it, God brought them there. Egypt or nobody else is going to push them out. They'll push them back across that canal. They may hang that star on a pyramid, I don't know, but they'll push them back across that canal. And when the thing begins,
when the Russians begin to see that their billions of dollars once more has been lost, that they cannot win, the Egyptians and the Syrians will not be able to hold out, then he and these hordes may begin their march. That may be the reason they're not mentioned as allies here. Or on the other hand, this war may see Syria and Egypt so badly defeated that they'll never attempt it again. And the next time, the only way it can be provoked is the Red Army itself to march with those nations listed here as allied with it. Any way you look at it, my friend, we have come to the close of an age. We need a revival in this land. You need your heart stirred. It's not enough just to be a Sunday school member. I said it's not enough just to be a Sunday school member. You need your heart stirred tonight. You need the Holy Spirit to touch your life. Once more, the Bible said, I made mention of this last Sunday night, that there was coming two angels holding back the storms of the earth. When you see winds in the Bible, that it talks about change and turmoil and political change. And you saw the angels as they came down in the book of Revelation, held back the winds and said, hurt not the earth nor the trees until our servants of God are sealed in their forehead. This war is going to hurt the trees, going to hurt the water, it's going to hurt the earth. Part of the earth will not be tillable, mister, when this is over with. You realize what an atomic bomb does to the earth? It may be years before a field is ever productive after those hydrogen bombs have been bursted. The Bible said that angel said, hold back the wind until we sealed them in their forehead. I believe that God today in the sifting time, everything that can be shaken is being shaken. Everything that can be sifted is being sifted. Because God is coming down to the wire. We're coming to the close of this age. We're coming to the close of this age. And as we approach it, God, before this earth can be hurt, is going to seal his own. And the Bible said you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. I said with the Holy Spirit of promise. In the windup of this message tonight, let me show you something here. Now we see that this thing is going to begin when Russia begins her march. Not just the Arab, but when that Red Army begins its march. That's going to be the signal for God to step into it. And when God steps into it, the back of communism is going to be broken. It's a sure cinch that the West is going to be the winner. Because in the text that I read to you tonight, it declares that Israel will be around to bury the dead when it's over with. When the war is all over with, Israel will be around to bury the dead. Now here's the order of events that this Bible sets forth that's going to happen in our time. Jesus said to John, set forth those things that shall shortly come to pass. I believe the next thing on the agenda for the church is its rapture. Amen. Yes, sir. God is preparing hearts. Mister, the careless are not going. The unbeliever's not going. The unbeliever's a man that won't do what God told him to do. The fearful is not going. They're not going to be a part of that rapture church. Only the overcomer. What is an overcomer? That's a person that overcomes themselves. That's what it is. And that's what's going to be a part of that rapture church. For the world, the next thing on the agenda is a war that I'm talking about tonight. When Russia and her allies shall be defeated on the mountain of Israel. But listen, mister, if you think that war is going to be confined to those little mountains, you're wrong. This nation is going to feel the impact of those Soviet missiles. They say in the first 10 hours that 100 million of us could die. Oh no, I know it isn't a pretty picture, mister, but it's a true picture. This Bible has proved itself through the centuries to the minutest details. Its great prophecies have proven true. This one will also. No, the war will principally be there, but we'll feel the awful might of the Russian missiles, and they'll feel ours. And the world will be left in shambles when that war is over. Israel will be there to bury the dead. Men will be in such confusion. They refuse to accept the truth, so a lie will step to the center. They look for somebody to solve their problems. They're looking for that man tonight. Somewhere in the shadows of this world, there's a man known as Antichrist. I don't know his name. I don't know where he's coming from. But he's going to be the boss man of this earth in a little while.
out of that war, out of its shambles, with the church gone and demons full grown on this earth, mister. You think it's bad tonight. God pity if you miss the rapture. In that darkened hour, mister, all the confusion, they'll feel around, look around for somebody to solve the problems. That man of sin, that son of perdition, will reveal himself to the world. The Bible said he cannot be revealed to that world until the church is taken out of the way. He that letteth will let until he be taken out of the way, then shall that man of sin be revealed. After the rapture and the close of that war and the dust and confusion, he'll present himself. Men will hail him God. John saw him. He said, I saw a beast rise up out of the sea. See always his people. The Antichrist comes up out of the great multitude of people on this earth. He said, upon his head were seven horns. And on his forehead was written blasphemy. And all the world had wondered after the beast, saying, who is able to make war against the beast? He'll present himself, mister. And the world will accept him. And for 7 long years of hell, he'll rule this earth. Men's lives will be cheaper. The darkness it covers now will be deepened to a degree that you cannot imagine. The end of that 7 years, once more, the little nation will be jeopardized. Communism didn't break its back. Finally, in the close of the age, Antichrist and the armies of the world will have gathered themselves against that little nation in what this Bible calls Armageddon. Armageddon. And at that moment, in the signal of attack, from the skies will come the Christ back to this earth with his church. With 10,000 thousands of his saints, all of us riding on white horses, the equipment of which is worth more than the wealth of this world. And the Bible said he'll destroy them with the brightness of his coming, and 1,000 years of peace will be set up on this earth. Mister, while you sit here tonight, when you step in that car and turn the radio on tonight, you could hear the news on that radio that the Red Army has marched against Israel. That'll be a signal, sir, that it's all over. It may not happen tonight, but it will happen. Christ is going to come. Christ is going to come. And if that war is so close, how much closer is his coming, and many of you are not ready. I want you to bow your head with me. I want you to bow your head. I want the Holy Spirit tonight to talk to you.